Good morning.
Okay. All right. Well, look, it's good to be with you all this morning, and I hope you've been having, a good week. So, as you know, we like to kind of start these calls first with what's on everybody's mind, and then I'd like to get through some material, and I'd like to know how you. We hit a lot of information, on our last call with the planning and the web app. So I'm curious to see how you all absorbed all that information as well. So why don't you guys go first?
Okay, in terms of absorbing, we went through these giant, almost pie in the sky figures.
Okay.
Where we want to go. So I absorbed that it is not business as usual for sure.
Okay. But when you were looking at it, did you, and doing kind of your scenarios, did it look like it was mission possible that, you all really have that kind of potential?
I internalized yes, but that it wouldn't, we don't have that potential by doing what we've been doing. We have the potential
right.
by embracing and acting differently.
Right. Okay. Okay.
And go
ahead.
I continually have this thought that because we are much smaller than a lot of the Supernova clients, that it may take us a little longer to ramp up. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I shouldn't even have that in my brain, but that's kind of what I was thinking.
I was thinking the opposite. I was thinking because we're small, if well adopted, our potential growth rate could be much higher than others. That's actually how I was thinking.
Right. Okay. All right. So let's talk about that for a moment, because if you implement the things that we've been talking about, and it's all these little things that really make this all work, then you really have the potential to really double your practice. Now, we're not trying to get to a five-year number in 12 months. But what we're trying to do in a period of 12 is to try to move in this 18 to 12-month time frame, try to move toward a double. And so you have to back it out and see, well, how many clients does that mean at your target in order to get to your number? Have you figured that out yet?
Not specifically. Our first longer meeting about the planning process is tomorrow.
Okay.
So we're going to get more into the hard and fast numbers again tomorrow.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think that's really where we're at in the program now is, we've got process, we've got organization, now it's like laying down some goals and implementing, the folder system, Supernova, everything gets scheduled. So that's kind of, where you're at this point. Are there any aspects of the program that are overwhelming to you right now? Anything that we've covered that, we need to kind of go back, take a little quick look at? I noticed I didn't get an email from you this past week, Rod, and I was feeling just a little bit, having some withdrawals. I don't know what was going on.
Well, yeah, it's been, I guess that's a good thing. And it's been, I did, however, have a few phone calls with or emails between Cindy and me. The scheduling spreadsheet that I have is had some issues, so I'm waiting on her to get back with me. She's going to have to redo mine or send me a new copy because mine is not working.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I'm sorry for that. I know that she was in this morning, so, you know, we're going to make sure that gets done because that's really an important part of what you do. Okay.
Right. So that's been, you know, we're trying to get all the appointment schedule. That's one thing I wanted to run by you.
Okay.
The conversations I've had with clients have been mixed. Some people have started out the phone call thinking they didn't want the 12 phone calls or 12 conversations. And then by the end of the call, you know, or conversation, they do want them. But I've had several people that just kind of listen and think, you know, I mean, I'm trying to sell it. I'm trying to help them understand, you know, why that's important, and maybe they're not a complex enough client. You know, maybe they just don't fit the key client model yet. But I'm getting a real mixed feedback of, you know, people thinking they really don't want that many contacts, and then several people have been like, great, you know, yes, I definitely want to have these, you know, regular conversations.
Okay. Well,
I just kind of let that go? Should I really push those people that I want to be key clients? Like, I've got a couple of folks that, you know, have great, great potential,
right.
And that they're busy. They're not really sure they really want to do that. So my question is, how hard should I push?
Okay. So, first of all, think about what's going on in the mind of the client right now. And there could be several things. And one of the areas in the manual that is worthwhile reviewing is the objection to the service model. Now, maybe before, I'm not saying that this was true with you, but oftentimes when you make the call, there's a sale that occurs. And you're either buying something, selling something, rebalancing something. And so in the back of their mind, they could be seeing or sensing, oh wow, once a month he's going to be trying to sell me something, and, you know, I don't know if I want to quite, you know, deal with that. Okay, so that's one. So you got to be thinking, what are they thinking? The other is they're thinking that, you know, I don't have enough going on in my portfolio to warrant that kind of an attention. And all of a sudden, you're telling them that you value them. So I think what you do is you try, you don't force, but make some of the calls shorter. Make them 15 minutes. Everybody's got 15 minutes, and keep in mind, of the 12 contacts, 4 of them are going to be reviews. Now, all of a sudden, you know, things are going great guns, the markets are doing well, everybody's portfolios are up, and then all of a sudden there's an 8% correction, and now people are saying, oh boy, what's going on? What do I need to attend to? You know, I haven't really looked at my portfolio because everything was just going great. They get lulled into this hyper satisfaction because they've been in a bull market almost since 2009. All of a sudden, there's a correction. There's a geopolitical scenario going on out there in the world. So you've got to make the calls very relevant and have your agendas in place and provide the economic updates and deal with the chosen scenarios. Now, if the clients don't have a financial plan that is associated with the process, then they're going to be a little reticent because they're not going to be aware of the gaps.
Right.
You have to make up with the contact. So, you know, it could take that many contacts just to get to a point where you're implementing everything that needs to be implemented. So what I want you to think about is think about what is in the best interest of the client, and they may not know what's in their best interest at this point.
Right.
And then if there's some folks that are just absolutely stodgy, that won't budge, that don't want to take your calls, then, you know, kind of reduce it back, but tell them to try to stick a toe in the water. And if we find out that the calls, you know, don't have the relevance that they're looking for, scale them back.
Okay.
You know, I want you to feel like you have that flexibility, but I don't want you to give people an easy out. I mean, if you looked at the typical client, is the mortgage scenario well taken care of? Have they set aside educational planning for the kids? Have they been involved in long-term care? Are they potentially going to care for an elderly parent? You know, are their portfolios, given market conditions, insulated from some of the risks that they're taking right now? Because what was risky in 2009 and 2010 is a little bit different right now, with markets being at an all-time high. And, you know, for guys like me who have been in this now for almost four decades, and see change on the horizon, technological change, geopolitical change, you know, economic change, all of this stuff going on, this is a real good time to be in touch with clients. So think about it.
Sure. No, that's great.
Yeah. Okay. So what you're doing now, because this is new, is put together a list of objections and responses to the calls. Okay? And let them know. We'll try to keep them of short duration, and we'll only run over if they want to run over. And what doesn't get put on that call gets moved over to the next call. Make sure that after each call, there is a call to action. I was reviewing this with somebody else I was coaching the other day, and you know, you'd have the call, and that was really, really good. But at the end of the call, there wasn't a next step or a call to action that you could follow up with the executive summary. So if you do all of this in a well-ordered way, I think you're going to find that it impacts your referral-based business, and it impacts your productivity as well. So try to stick to your guns, and what we're working toward is we're working toward you being in charge and in control and not the clients.
Right.
Okay? And that's where we're getting to. And so when you go back now and look at your screens, do they pay attention to you? Do they listen to your advice? Do they have, you know, the level of investments you're looking for? All of that becomes now very, very important. You know, you don't want to have a bunch of folks on the books that say, hey, you know, I don't value, you know, your level of expertise. I don't value the fact that you want to pay attention to me. You know, so
right.
That's part of what you are building toward. If somebody had a lawyer on the phone, said, look, we've got to get you in here and talk about what we're doing, that client's not going to say, hey, I'm sorry, I got no time, I'm too busy. You know, or the CPA on a tax minimization strategy, I'm sorry, I don't have time. You know,
right.
Your value is just as important. Okay. But man, that's a great thing to bring up. Great. So appreciate you sharing that. What else is on your mind?
I thought this week 10 was really, really practical and good. And you know, there's a lot of action steps there that'll have to be done over time. But I just thought it was really good information.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, it gave me a lot of ideas. From the prospect side.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot in there.
Okay, good. Well, let's do a couple of things. Have we covered the VIPSA model?
I'm sorry, I interrupted. We covered it all in the video.
Okay, good. I wanted to spend some time, because right now we want to make sure that we are focused on, the client acquisition, component. And I know we went through, week 9, and one of the things I wanted to do is just reinforce the 5 resources for growth, and then I'm going to get into this model. But remember, we're giving the prospects the 90-day free look. Okay, so we're trying to get ourselves up to a substantial number of prospects that come through the referral process that we're going to talk about today and others. But, you know, you want to have the 90-day free look for prospects. You want to have 6 centers of influence. You want to have a 4-member mastermind group, 2 community boards, 2 niche markets, and 1 social media networking strategy. One of the things on the social media networking strategy. I was on LinkedIn yesterday, and I was looking at Sally Krawcheck. Now, are you familiar with that name?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, she used to work at Merrill. She headed wealth management for a while, and you know, it didn't last very long, but I'm in one of her groups. I've never met her personally. Let me take that back. When she was at an analyst, she used to come in and see David Kamansky, and the former chairman. I used to set up those meetings. But this person, she is a master marketeer. There are over 2.1 million people that follow her on LinkedIn. And I started looking, and I said, well, why has this person got so many followers? She posts and shares like daily. So if you go on and you look at her posting activity, it's pretty incredible. So when you look at the social media network strategy and just the sharing, you know, I think you probably could share maybe something, if not once per week, every other week. So if you shared something every other week, you'd be sharing something probably about 25 times per year. It could be something that your company, a recent research report, or what have you, that's come in. And you share it on your website as well. So don't underestimate your networking strategy. So I just thought I'd share that with you.
Have you, Curtis, do you have any like constraints? So we have a guy at Ameriprise actually that management thinks is just the greatest thing ever.
Okay.
And he blends his personal and his business continually. But he posts, I'm going to say closer to certainly 24 times a week.
Wow.
But, I mean, so he goes to the weight room and he'll take a picture of himself, you know, or if he wears a nice tie that day, takes a picture of himself. If his wife's dressed up, boom, picture. He'll say, man, kicking butt in my personal portfolio on his personal side. And, you know, we have the company stuff that kind of comes out on the business one. And we have a tool where we can load the calendar with as many as we want. Let's say two a day, copyright paid for material. So I was just going to ask you the pros and the cons of, you know, once a day versus once every 2 weeks. I don't know if it irritates people to post all the time, but it might. Rodney,
I would say if I'm getting a post of the relevant information from certain parties, I am moving through that information in a matter of many seconds. Okay? I don't stop to take a look. It's just that the folks that have something relevant that I don't hear from every single day, once a week, I'll stop and browse and see. So get a reputation for having something that is very relevant to the audience that you're trying to attract. I don't do much with Facebook, but I will tell you, I need to gear up, my social media as well. I don't do near the number of posts that I probably should. In fact, I don't even post at all. And every week I have somebody that wants to, you know, join my my network. I mean, I'm getting 60 views a week now. And I'm literally hardly doing anything.
Okay.
So, you know, that's what I would suggest. If you're going to post, don't make it, you can post once a week, but things that you like that somebody has posted, do that and join a couple of groups and start conversations. That, I think, helps. So the mathematics behind some of these things is that, you know, I think you should map this out, but where we talk about those five resources for growth, you know, in the manual, it had like 100 clients give you 6 introductions, that's 600 prospects. Okay, take that down to 50, give you 6 introductions, okay? And you got 300 potential prospects. Take your 6 centers of influence that give you 12 introductions. That's another 60 potential prospects. You know, get your 4-member mastermind group, giving you 8. That's 32. 2 niche markets that are concentrated on a demographic, give you 10 introductions. That's 20. two nonprofit boards where you're really working the board of directors. I went online and plugged in nonprofits in Winnipeg, Canada. And it gave me a list of like 30 to 40 nonprofits for a guy that I was working with. So go online and in your market area and identify the nonprofits in your market that you might have an interest in and set up some interviews. You know, we earmark a little bit of our time for nonprofits and, you know, I'd like to meet with you and find out what you do. And I will tell you, every nonprofit will take the time to talk to you. Okay? Because they're thinking that they could have a potential committee member, a potential board member, another potential center of influence. So they're going to talk to you. But pick and choose the activities that you feel most comfortable with. So as you start to plug that into your business plan, that's where the growth is going to come from for your practice. Okay. Now, when we left week number 9 and we talked about all of those things, well, first of all, before I just realize it, did all that kind of resonate with you, just to kind of look at that one more time?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, cool. All right. So you have that as part of your model. You are distributing your mini-me folders. You've got, you know, most of you, 100% of your clients now should have an awareness of your Supernova service model. Okay. This VIPSA model, the VIPSA, is basically talking about, the V stands for value. And I'll come back to that. The I is what is important to you. The P stands for permission. The S stands for suggestion. And the A stands for advice. Okay, so let's kind of explain what this referral model is all about. So remember, the three ways we like to get referred is, number one, the client or these activities that we talked about are providing you with a personal introduction. That's the best way. Over coffee, over lunch, could be in the middle of the afternoon, but it's the one client personally bringing that potential referral to a meeting for you. So let's back up and say, well, do we deserve referrals? Well, now you've got an elevated service model. 12 contacts, with 4 of them being reviews, 2 in person, a 1-hour response to problems, 24-hour resolution, financial planning, and intergenerational planning. So you're working the service model now. You've got agendas with topics. All of these little things that add up, the folder system, the executive summary, all now point to the fact that you now deserve referrals. Okay? They point to the fact that you have earned referrals. And then it's like, do you have a process to receive them and to ask for them? And so the way this works is when you are having the conversation with your client, you're simply asking, what do you get value from this experience? Now, when you ask that question, you're getting the client to move over to your side of the table. So that's very important words. What do you value from this experience? They may say, well, in the beginning, I thought that, you know, talking to me 12 times once a month was going to be a little overwhelming, but, you know, I had no idea of the expanse of knowledge and your attention to detail and follow-up. You've done things to help protect my family. I value this. Okay. So you're getting that input. Now, I want you to catalog that input. I want you to write that down in a journal. And I want you to go back and I want you to share it with your team members that John Jones said this is what he valued, because that's a real live testimonial. You translate that into your value prop. Our clients value this about what we're able to do. They become stories. Okay. Now, that's the B part. Any questions on that? Okay. The second part is what's important. That's the I. So you simply have to ask the client, you know, we've been chatting and we've been talking. I really want to hone in on what's important to you. Okay? Because we want to make sure that of all the things that we do, that we're paying attention to what's important to you and your family. All right. So that's the I part.
Would you differentiate between value and importance? Those seem very similar.
Yeah. The important things are the client's priorities. Okay? What's important? What are your priorities? And then the value piece is what they value from the experience, what their takeaways are, okay? What they value in the relationship and the experience. What's important are their priorities, okay? Okay, so one of the things that you do on the calls is you start them off. Look, before I kind of get into some of the things that, you know, I want to cover with you, I want to make sure that between the last time we talked, you know, if there's been any changes, anything that, you know, we need to pay attention to or focus on. Well, as you know, Rodney, there's been a lot of market volatility, and I just want to, know, am I protected? Is my portfolio insulated against some of the risks that I see out there, you know, the fact that interest rates might be going up, that we could find ourselves with fast-paced growth in the midst of a recession. Okay, so that's how conversations go. Okay? Does that make that clear?
Yes.
Okay.
Then so it's kind of like asking for more debts.
Exactly. See, you know, you know this from being in the business. Clients can be fickle. What was a priority last month may have suddenly changed. So you have to ask that question more and more. Here's a quick story. Person we're working with, the husband and wife, she's retired, and she was recently laid off from the job, and she said, we're just concerned about the investments and the fees. We don't need a financial plan or any of that stuff. And what immediately comes to my mind is, okay, this guy has a level of interest that is just focused on today, not the future. A person 67 could live another 15 or 20 years. She's 60. She could live another 20. How do we make sure you don't outlive your asset base? What's your roadmap? Do you have one? Look, I told him, I said, look, when you get into the financial planning process, it scares people. It scares them because they got gaps. They're embarrassed. They don't want to share with you their lack of attention and the areas that they should be focused on. And so they ignore it, thinking that it'll go away. And you have to let them know, hey, look, that's okay. I'm going to take care of you. You know, there's nothing, you know, to be embarrassed about. These are very important things. That's why I'm here. Okay. So, you know, he was just going to, you know, the client, again, was going to dictate the relationship again, knowing that if all he did was put together a portfolio, not understanding the risk profile of the client, not paying attention to some of the important things that were going to exist as a result of one spouse suddenly being, unemployed, thinking that they're going to go into the consulting world and try to build a business or what have you. So, a lot of factors. And that's what I mean by honing in and finding out what's important. Okay. The P part of it stands for permission. So the way you would word this is, look, with your permission, I'd like to brainstorm. Who in your network, area of influence, do you think would appreciate the service and the value that I bring to clients like yourself? Okay? So you're asking for permission to brainstorm. You know, who in your world would appreciate the level of service and capabilities that our team can provide. Okay? So you're asking for permission. The next piece is suggestion. Okay? They give you a name. How would you suggest I meet him or her? Well, you know, I play golf with Joe every Wednesday. Then we have lunch. Why don't you join us at the club for lunch and I'll make the introduction. Fantastic. Okay, let's do it. So you're going to ask, how would you suggest I meet him or her? Then the A part of this is advice. That part of it is a very powerful tool. Asking for advice makes people feel good. So I'd like to ask your advice about, how you might envision us getting along and communicating. Tell me a little bit more about Joe. Okay. Brings you up to date. Okay. So, back to this advice component. I want to ask you an important question. What do you value from this experience? Write it down. Share it with your team. Okay? And they're going to say things like, look, I like this team. I like the agendas. You've made a real effort to educate me in a number of areas. Okay? So, with your permission, let's brainstorm. Who else in your world might value this level of service? You know, those people that are closest to you. You know, discuss expanding the circle. You know, brother, sister, are these people qualified or not? You're brainstorming. Parents? No. Closest to you at work, boss, colleagues, neighbors, put them in order of urgency. Okay? High importance, yeah. Boss and I, we were talking, and he was saying, hey, look, you know, he had just, you know, his portfolio is a little risky right now, and he needed some help. Tell me about the boss. Follow up. Set times for conversation. Okay? Call the client. Arrange the lunch. Arrange the introduction. There was a person by the name of Luke Wiley, another FA in the firm, went from 800 to 200 million working this model. Another guy I know, Blaine Warner, went from 900 to over $2 million working this referral model. So now when you think about it, you've got your prospects, your clients that can generate potential prospects, your centers of influence, your mastermind group, your two niche markets, your two nonprofit boards, and your this bump model. Okay? Those are your prospect client development methodologies. Okay? All right. And if you, you know, it's going to take a while to onboard all of this, but when you're in that meeting with Joe, and you say, Joe, I believe a person ought to test the waters out. I'd like to treat you as if you were a client for the next, you know, 30, 60, 90 days. And, I'm going to give you this folder, and it's got all of our contact information, and I would schedule, you know, some contacts and calls with you and treat you just like we would treat a client. And then if you decide that you, after a period of time, you want to work with us, we would love to work with you. Okay? So now that person goes into your scheduler on your calendar. They get a folder. They get the 90-day free look. Now, I'm sure that by the time you start getting, you know, 30, 40, or 50 of these folks, that some of them are going to start dropping on a monthly basis in terms of clients. Okay? So that's your goal, is to start moving into the client acquisition arena.
Hey, pardon me.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
So, Curtis, I like that, and I think we can pull that off. What I have more trouble with is on the front end, not to say I'd like to treat you this way for a period of time. I'd like to, you know, do the meetings like we do with our clients. And at the end of that, you know, if you decide that you want to retain us and work with us, we'd love to do it. That all is so nice. What about on the very front end where our client, let's just use one that's coming up. We have an investment management client on my side that's going to come in for some estate planning, and they're going to bring their son. I know their son, and he's got an airplane and a boat, I'm guessing, and he's got his own business.
Okay.
He's affluent enough, I think. So he's at lunch with us after the meeting. We're going to go have lunch together. So how do we start that kind of a conversation rather than telling that? Like, how do we transition?
Okay. So what I would do in this particular case is, you know, I would say something to the effect that, you know, you share with people your value proposition and your service model as the kind of the opener. You know, we work with a limited number of clients for our team, and here's our value that we provide, and here's our service model. And we give everybody that is thinking about working with us an opportunity for a free look, as if you were just going out to buy this brand new boat and you're going to take it out for a test drive around the bay to see how it moves, if you like it, so on and so forth. Well, we operate in a similar fashion. So use something that they can relate to bring them into the fold. Now, in this regard, what I propose, what I'd love to be able to do, is give you some exposure to our team and how we work. Okay? And I'd like to give you a folder and then describe the contents. And I'd like to set up our first call at a mutually convenient time. So that's kind of how you begin to introduce it that way.
Okay.
If there's some profile information you can get, it may take the second meeting, because sometimes people are private. They're not going to describe the personal stuff in front of their friend or their concerns or their issues. So, you know, this meeting is just about us getting to know each other, introducing, meeting our team, talking about our backgrounds and what we do, and just some of your love areas of interest. And then we get down to, well, look, I'd really like to have another conversation with you. You're exactly the type of individual we'd love to work with. We work with a number of ultra high net worth, a limited number of ultra high net worth individuals, so that we can provide this value proposition and this level of service. Hand them the folder. It's got your team bios and all that stuff in there. How's that resonate with you?
Pretty well. It actually triggered in my mind to go back to the folder system and see if I could find a couple of things that I got a little bogged down on for prospects and COIs. And, of course, I'm not finding it. One of the things was, you're dealing with a prospect or you're dealing with a COI, and one of the topics on the agenda was go back to the portfolio information, and I read it as that you are aware of, because they may not have shared very much, because you're gonna treat them like a client. You come in and month, hey, you know, what do you want to go over? A second, here's my agenda. Right. And one of those is a performance review. But you don't know anything, or you might not. And I was trying to figure out how you wormed your way into getting information so that you could do that part.
Okay. So one of the things that we pointed out is that you get an opportunity to get a free look. So what I'm able to provide for you is just a what I call a mini analysis of your portfolio. So we look at it in terms of asset allocation, risk, and performance. You know, just throw out your buzzwords. And there's no cost of obligation during this process. And if you like the way that you're being treated, then we would hope that we would be able to really work together. But for now, we're going to do that. And then after you do, you know, kind of the analysis, you're going to send out an executive summary. And the executive summary is going to say something like, look, really enjoyed meeting you, really enjoyed the conversation. You pointed out a couple of the areas that were important to you, and we'd love to work with you in those areas. We promised that we'd do a cost reanalysis of your portfolio, and you know, we want to know, so one of the next steps is that you're going to deliver, you know, some statements on your existing portfolio by such and such a date. So that you use your executive summary as a means of call to action and seeking closure. You should go back and reread that article I wrote on the executive summary and using it as a method to close a relationship, because that's where that really would be helpful. It's not that you haven't already learned what the executive summary is, but now you're learning how to weave that in to your overall process for prospects as well. Same thing, being consistent.
Okay. Yeah, my questions are more about, I guess, the detail of how you execute it. I think of the COI. And, one of our benefits is really the fact that we connect our network to their network is one of the benefits of knowing us. And okay. So you had a part in there about begin to make a little mini script and during your conversation, engage the COI and how they would like to be introduced. So, you know, I'm meeting with somebody and I feel that they would be a great match for you. How would you like me to describe you and to introduce what you do to them?
Right. So you're educating your COI. Yeah.
Perfect. And I wondered if there was a template for that, or you just let them tell you and be quiet.
Yeah, you just kind of let them tell you, and because they're going to know this person, and so you're going to be relying on them. But again, you know as well as I know that when you get a personal introduction, that's when the close ratio jumps up. Okay. So, you know, some of this, you just got to play it by ear. But ask for their advice, on how to go about it. And that's what you would do.
Thank you.
All right. The last thing, I wanted to get on a couple of things here. This community involvement. It can be an arts organization, one charitable, you want to be looking at the boards to see how influential they are. You want to make sure that there's not another person sitting on that board that's like you, that's out there looking for clients as well. So, you know, you're going to ask your best clients for their advice. You want to find out what nonprofit organizations they're a part of. Ask for introductions by one of your clients. The whole community involvement piece, it's important to cities, communities, leaders. One thing you got to remember, they're all stretched for money. And so when you decide that you want to make a commitment, this is maybe, you know, a 5-year commitment to one of these organizations. Try to stay away from being on the finance committee because you become conflicted and can't really, you know, make recommendations and then manage the portfolio of the nonprofit. So be careful about that. But sometimes just start at the committee level and meet people at a peer-to-peer level in terms of the community involvement. It can be the church. It can be the golf club. It could be economic development boards. And this may sound crazy. I made a phone call to an economic development council and said, look, just out of curiosity, I'm calling because I wanted to know if it was difficult to reach you. And the other thing is I'm consulting to a client, and I just wanted to know if you would meet with them, give them some exposure to what you're doing and the progress that the Economic Development Council is making. I said, absolutely. That's one of the things that we enjoy doing. Well, this is the person's name, and I'm going to have him give you a call and set up time to meet. And bang, they did it. And, you know, this little community city, well, I guess you'd call it a state here, had a GDP of about $37.6 billion, 775,000 people in the community. So learn about your communities. Learn where the money is. Oftentimes, there are a CPA and a lawyer on these boards. Okay? All right. So that's what I'd like you to be thinking about in terms of, you know, following up on the referral model. Any questions? Any additional questions that we should talk about before we wrap up?
I don't have any.
I don't have any.
Okay. All right. So just remember, it's these little things that you do with these folks that differentiate you, you know, from everybody else. And if you should have some additional questions, feel free to email me. And let's see, is Corinne on the call with you guys today?
I'm actually here, believe it or not.
So are you taking all this in? Are you helping lead and control the schedule for these gentlemen just yet?
Right now I'm busy sending out packets.
Okay.
And putting folders together and all of that mess. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, you got to think that, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, as soon as I get the working spreadsheet, I'm going to do it the first time, make sure I understand it. And then we were just talking on our pre-call that we do before our call with you that, you know, that's kind of the next step is to hand that off to Corinne.
Okay. Good. All right. Well, look, you guys.
I'm further behind on that, but same thing. I'm trying to. I have my stuff in my actual calendar, and now I need to move it over to the spreadsheet. I've been afraid of the spreadsheet.
Okay. Well, look, you all are making a lot of progress. So don't be alarmed. It gets a little overwhelming at times, but you know, you all are going to make a lot of progress on this because. One factor is you're extremely coachable. You all are working well together, and we're going to get through this stuff, you know, together. So I love hearing the stories, and I appreciate you sharing them. And I look forward to our next call.
We do too.
Thanks a lot.
All righty. Take care, guys. Bye bye.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye bye.